Hello there. Welcome to the Movies You Forgot podcast with me, the real host, Joe Devine. Now, welcome to another episode of Joe Made Me Watch. This is our summer series that Adam is completing while I am busy on World Cup duty. Here's how Joe Made Me Watch works. I ask Adam to watch a film that I've already seen. I give a very short précis as an intro about what I think of the film, and maybe things I think Adam might point out. Adam then tells you what he thought of it, and then at the end he comes back to discover what I predict that he will score the film out of 100. So hold on to the end of the episode and you'll hear my prediction. And the subject of today's episode is the film Disclosure Day. That's right, Joe made Adam watch Disclosure Day. Now that's kind of a silly thing to say, isn't it? Because Adam probably would have watched Disclosure Day anyway. Having said that, in a rare bout of speed, I got to see Disclosure Day before Adam did. Usually he's haunting around the cinemas on Thursday afternoons, waiting for tickets to the preview of whatever film's coming out so he can tell other people he's seen it first. But not this day. This day was a victory for me. Anyway, what is Disclosure Day? Well, you probably already know, but if you don't, it is the director Steven Spielberg's newest release. It stars Emily Blunt, Josh O'Connor, Colin Firth, a couple of other people, and the IMDb is as follows. If you found out we weren't alone, if someone showed you, proved it to you, would that frighten you? I mean, it would. It actually would in real life. Perhaps not so much in the film. But what did I think of Disclosure Day? Well, I thought it was broadly fine. Absolutely fine. Not much more than that. It didn't feel super Steven Spielberg-y. I didn't love Josh O'Connor. I thought Colin Firth felt a little bit miscast, perhaps. Colman Domingo being on the phone in the set in every scene was a sort of cool idea, but it made the film feel quite small. It really reduced the sprawl. I thought Elizabeth Marvel was Allison Janney, so that's confusing. But what I will say is that Emily Blunt, who I usually am not a huge fan of, is terrific in the film. She's really, really very good. Very funny, very likable, very charismatic. She makes the film watchable, I would say. Without her presence, I think the film would be much less good. And without wanting to spoil it, if you haven't seen it, all I'll say is I didn't really love the ending that much. And I expect that Adam won't like that either. But I am curious to hear what he thinks about it. So without further ado, I'm going to hand you over to Adam Richmondo himself. And at the end, I'll come back with my prediction for his score.
Oh, hi, Joe. We've got to stop meeting like this. You're so very far away from me. You've caught me at a funny moment. I've just come back from the cinema again. I've seen Toy Story 5, opening night. And as you like to say, I like to hustle out there and see the movie before everyone else. But I mean, mainly with Toy Story 5, I'm about to go away for a week, and it's my daughter's birthday tomorrow, and I thought it would be quite nice, the whole family. I've got a 6-year-old, she's going to be an 11-year-old, and a wife, that's what I've got. And we don't generally get to all go to the cinema together. We've all got different speeds and tastes, but Toy Story 5... That was the catch-all for all of us. Anyway, I mean, I'm supposed to be talking about Disclosure Day, but that's just the mood I'm in. I've just seen, I've seen Toy Story 5, and it was pretty good. It made me cry at the end. It's all about devices, kids getting devices, and as my daughter's turning 11, she's about to get a brick phone. So it was really, you know, it was pretty much on the nose. I mean, it's an on the nose movie. Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian, I think he was heard to headline, you know, Toy Story, someone needs to give this franchise new batteries. And I think he gave it 2 stars. I didn't read the review. I imagine he came up with that headline and then retroactively decided, oh, I've got to hate it, so I'm going to give it 2 stars, and proceeded to give it a kicking. A film that has got nothing to do with him. It's for kids and parents of young kids, I imagine. Not that I'm better than Bradshaw, but it's squarely aimed at those two demographics. I can't nitpick, and I wouldn't, you know, because it got me crying. I think if a movie makes you cry, makes you feel anything, then it's one, you know, it's one art, and it's a 4-star flick. If I rewatch it, I can't imagine it will probably hold up. But I'm trying not to think about that. I'm trying to hold on to the feeling, which is a long way of saying and bringing me back to Disclosure Day. I hurried from work to catch a 5:30 showing in central London, so then I could then subsequently hurry to the TIFO studio to watch England play and watch Joe and his cohorts live stream the game. So that was a packed day for me. So that's the backstory. I was in two minds about whether I was going to bother to see this. And it is, even though Joe said, you know, again, he's made his joke about, oh, he didn't need to make me go and see Disclosure Day. I was probably going to let this slide. The trailer was very uninspiring. The name of the movie is horrible. The posters look shit. Just the general aesthetic of it, I thought, I think maybe this is going to be middling Spielberg. I don't need to see this. And then, you know, the chatter starts coming out. Oh, this is really good, solid Spielberg. Still, like, nothing's tipping me over. I don't want to know too much. I don't want expectations to be too high. And then Joe drops the bombshell. He's gone to see it. And worse still, he's refusing to tell me what he thinks about it. So, of course, he's made me gone to see it. And now I know Joe loves Jurassic Park. Anyone in their right mind loves Jurassic Park. I don't know how much he cares about Spielberg. He said he really rates Hook, which I find weird, but he really hammered Minority Report. As I was watching Disclosure Day, and this crops up in the IndieWire review of the flick, which I read subsequently, it is quite Minority Report. It's got the same kind of bluey lens flare aesthetic of Minority Report. And it's got the same kind of story engine of characters on the run, being chased and doing a thing. So it doesn't surprise me that Joe didn't like this. And I think he's got a good sense of me now. I think he'll know what I thought of this movie. Did he predict how much I'm not going to like the movie? Am I going to just spend the next 30 minutes slagging it off? No. I don't think it's worth watching. Josh O'Connor's fine, but his character's a bit... I think it's the way the character's written. The movie starts straight into the action. He's the whistleblower. He's the one who's got all the beans to spill about the aliens, and he's at some sort of handover. So it doesn't muck about. But him as a character, it doesn't really quite make sense. He's doing his best, I think, with a shit character. Colin Firth... Joe's nailed it. I don't know whether it's miscast or he's playing it wrong. They've tried to do something, I think, a bit different or interesting with the baddie. They're trying to humanize him or something, but it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And again, as Joe rightly points out, Colman Domingo is on the phone just explaining things throughout, saying things like, oh, I can't tell you yet. I'll tell you in a bit. Josh O'Connor says the same sort of thing to his girlfriend. She's saying, what's going on? He'll go, I'll tell you later. You won't believe me. It's really bad, boring storytelling. The filmmakers don't want to give their hand away, and so they have their characters refusing to tell other characters until they do suddenly tell the other characters, and then you get a big, old, boring exposition dump. I spent the whole middle of the movie thinking, hang on a sec, is this just... Has Jeff Nichols already done this with Midnight Special? Now, Midnight Special came out in, I don't know, 2015, 2016. I can't remember a thing about it, so I could be massively wrong. And I'm happy for people to say this is nothing like Midnight Special. But the vibe of Midnight Special was it's like a dad and a kid and someone else, and they're on the run, and there's some kind of extraterrestrial or like superpower, mind power thing going on. And they're getting chased by authorities. It's set in the world of motels. It's Americana. So like, Jeff Nichols has already done this, this stuff. And like, this is all about, you know, what if the world got proof that aliens existed? That's what the film's dabbling with. And again, I watched Contact, a film from the late 90s. I watched that about 6 months ago. I wish maybe Steven Spielberg had, because if he'd rewatched Contact, he would have gone, there's just no point making this movie. It's just frustrating. Like, Contact's about the idea, is actually engaging with the idea of what if people found out that aliens existed? What if there's contact? And it's a near 3-hour movie. It's great. I loved it. You can see the DNA of Interstellar in there. But Disclosure Day has taken that question and wrapped it up in a very bog-standard sort of chase movie. There's a couple of boring monologues where people chat about the idea. Firth is playing this guy who's like, the people can't know. And Josh O'Connor's like, the people must know. And there's just this constant back and forth. And then it looks pretty shit. I like how Minority Report looks. It works because it's set in the future. I don't understand why Steven Spielberg is shooting a movie set in the present day like this at all. I think there's maybe this thing about phones, like everyone's on their phones. There's the connection with Toy Story 5. This film hates people being on their phones. And it's a really bog-standard, basic view of people on their phone. People are on their bloody phones all the time, videoing stuff. At least Toy Story 5, a movie for kids, bothers to engage with what that actually means. I knew that Toy Story 5 was about an iPad, basically. It didn't quite click that there would be more than this little iPad that is disconnecting children. There's all the other shitty bits of tech in between as well. And then it kind of makes you, it does actually go, well, yeah, well, these little iPads would have feelings too. These little crappy cameras would have feelings as well. I'm not saying it smashes it, but it does at least deliver on all the world-building premise that it's suggesting. Disclosure Day, its big opinion is that we all need to listen more. I don't want, why, like, that's the end of the movie. It's not a spoiler. That's the end of the movie is listen. I don't know about you, I just love it when a film wags its finger at you. I mean, I wasn't this annoyed coming out of the movie. Maybe it's because I had other plans. I knew I was hustling to see Joe and I was going to meet his cohorts and I was going to watch an England game. So my mind was swiftly, like, burying this flick. This disappointing flick to the back of my mind, and I was saying, yeah, I was like, never mind, you know, you've seen it, it's good, you know, you need to see these things to find out. Maybe it would have been good, maybe it would have been a home run, maybe it would have been Spielberg. He's back, he's doing his big sci-fi alien flick again, but he's not. And then, like, I'm reading interviews where he's like chatting about how Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is his least favorite Indiana Jones movie. Because George Lucas wanted it to be Aliens, and Harrison and Steven, they didn't want to do Aliens. Spielberg was like, oh, I don't want to do Aliens again. And they're all pulling in different directions. And so they kind of made this compromise of having them be interdimensional beings. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is loads better than Disclosure Day. Loads better. And so I don't know why he's gone back to this alien well for nothing. The other thing, you know, when you're sort of half in a movie, but it's not engaging you enough, and so your mind is drifting. My mind was drifting, half watching, half thinking, you know, why do people make movies? Why do they tell this? Why do they pick the particular stories that they're telling? And I was watching this film, Disclosure Day, just thinking, why has Spielberg made this? Why is he telling this story? What's he getting at? And I just couldn't figure it out. Because while you have characters asking questions like, well, what would it mean if we found out that there were aliens? What does that mean about God and our relationship to God? The film doesn't answer or engage in those questions. You can't just have a character say a question and go, yep, yeah, well, that's what the film's about. You just can't. And so it just made me think, what did it make me? It made me question the point of it all. Because Spielberg hasn't made this for the money. It's based on a story idea that he had. And they've spent a a lot of money on it, over $100 million, and they would have marketed the hell out of it. It's done very well, which is good. It's an original story. People are obsessed with that. Oh, it's not a remake. It's not a Marvel. It's not a sequel. This is an original sci-fi. It must do well, so Hollywood makes more of it. I don't know why that also winds me up. Like, I kind of now wish it had done badly and done worse because I don't, you know, the thing just has to be good, whether it's a sequel, a remake, whether it's based on a comic book, maybe it's based on a theme song whistled by Garth Marenghi. It doesn't matter. Who cares what the source material is? People are obsessed with the number of sequels or reboots or whatever that are in the box office as if it's an indicator of originality. There's no such thing. Everyone's all just like borrowing ideas. It's all just a big soup. And it's all just like who tells the best story? Who makes you feel something? Toy Story 5, it's so on the nose. It's so on the nose about kids getting phones and how disconnected it makes people. It's almost laughable, but you know, you laugh along because it's true. But then it builds to something and it's about something and it makes you cry. Disclosure Day does nothing. It is the worst kind of popcorn blockbuster. It's a nothing movie. And I think because we've re-entered the age of the auteur, and they don't get called auteurs anymore. I think they get called goats. Who's the goat? And this the deification of Stanley Kubrick and David Fincher and Steven Spielberg and Denis Villeneuve and who else? I mean, I guess Christopher Nolan. Film guys, and I think they are all guys. I think they support these directors like their football teams. And they attach a certain meaning to them, and everything that that director does or makes is somehow pristine, and it speaks to a totality of their artistic genius. And then also it's basking in the reflective glory of someone else. It's like, oh, I've seen this. I've seen all the great Stanley Kubrick movies, and I love them all in different ways, and this is what he does in this, and this. And it just pops you in the team as well. Like, I'm on the Stanley Kubrick team, and this is why he's great. And did you spot this in this movie? And this is what he does, and this is how he shoots, and this is how he frames stuff. And you can see it across all these movies. And it means any time that you would say, oh, Hook's a bit shit though, isn't it? Disclosure Day's a bit shit, isn't it? Let's go through how many shit films Steven Spielberg has done. Here we go. It's in my letterboxed. 2.5 stars. Close. I don't want to upgrade my account. I just want to click on the director thing. Okay. I mean, Jill's amazing. Always is a bit shit. Amistad, never seen that. I think that's well regarded. Warhorse, my kid really likes that. BFG, that's fine. I actually don't mind that. Munich, that's really solid. Empire of the Sun, never seen it. People really, really rate that. Bridge of Spies, yeah, that's very decent. Colour Purple, never seen. The Post, that's pretty boring. I wouldn't say it's shit, though. Lincoln, they can't say that's shit, that's fine. Tintin, right, here we go, shit. This is ranked by favourites, and Tintin's higher than Lincoln on Letterboxd. Hook, shit. AI, a failure. War of the Worlds, a bit shit. Close Encounters, not seen. Again, Kingdom of Crystal Skull is ranked a little bit higher than Close Encounters. Not, I mean, yeah, that's probably a bit shit, but fine. I don't mind it. Lost World, a bit shit. Minority Report, not a bit shit. West Side Story, a bit shit. Disclosure Day, a bit shit. Terminal, oh, very shit. And then we're on, you know, you're on really good ones then. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, not always, you know. Temple of Doom, cracking. Last Crusade, cracking. Fablemans, got bored. Ready Player One, that's got to be his worst flick. E.T., banging. Raiders is perfect. Saving Private Ryan, overrated. Jaws, perfect. Schindler's List, can't remember. I'd have to rewatch it. Jurassic Park, Pitch Perfect, Perfect, Tip Top Top, and Catch Me If You Can, which is also a cracker. So, you know, that's a pretty good run. It's not loads of a bit shits, but he's not Mr. Pristine. And now he seems to be chatted about like he's Mr. Pristine. God, fuck's sake.
You've come here and you've brought good and wealth, but you have also brought your bad habits as a backslider. You've lusted after women, and you have abandoned your child. Your child that you raised, you have abandoned all because he was sick and you have sinned. So say it now. I am a sinner. Say it louder. I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
Louder, Daniel. I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I am sorry, Lord.
I am sorry, Lord.
I want the blood.
I want the blood.
You have abandoned your child.
I've abandoned my child.
I will never backslide.
I will never backslide.
I was lost, but now I am found.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
I have abandoned my child.
I've abandoned my child.
Say it louder. Say it louder.
I've abandoned my child. I've abandoned my child. I've abandoned my boy.
Beg for the blood!
Give me the blood, Lord, and let me get away!
Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior?
Yes, I do.
I tell you what, though, there is a really great train sequence in this. There's a great action sequence where Josh O'Connor and Emily Blunt are in a car, and they're getting rammed from behind, and there's this massive freight train. That's when I'm completely sucked in. How Spielberg builds the tension and builds that moment. And it's about two-thirds of the way in, and it's that far in, and I'm just thinking, why has this come so late in the day? Why have I had to wait this long to see Spielberg at the, I wouldn't say peak of his powers, but it's up there. And there's one other, I guess, flourish moment when Josh O'Connor, he's hiding out with his girlfriend. He's gone out to get a phone call, and next thing you know, the house is surrounded by cars. It's in the middle of nowhere. And O'Connor is sort of ducking behind. He's in these fields and he's ducking behind bushes. And there's this quite ostentatious tracking shot. And I imagine all the film guys who love to jizz over technique will go, oh, look how he did that. How did he do that? And then the camera passes through the fence, and then Joshua kind of gets in the car, and it's like, yeah, it's a bit of craft. It's a nice sequence, but it just doesn't do anything. It doesn't say anything about the character. It doesn't say anything about the world. It just sits there as a bit of craft. It's just deeply uninteresting. It's a big movie, but it's got no space or time to properly engage in these questions. So I don't know why it's bothering. I thought I was going to say some nicer stuff. Okay, well, how do I rate this movie now? I've really shit on it. It has got some good sequences in it. Emily Blunt is great. She really is great. So it's not a complete failure. I gave it 2.5 out of 5 on the old Letterboxd. But it's definitely in the 60s. It's not as bad as a 50. I mean, it's a 65. I mean, that's as kind as I can give it, really. As a frame of reference, let's go back to his filmography. Like, Jurassic Park is probably a 98. Jaws, like, a 95. Raiders is 100. I'd say Raiders is 100. What's a middling one? I'd say Lost World. Lost World's probably a 70. Minority Report, I really came down on that. It's too long, but I still think that's like a 75. So if Minority Report's a 75, Disclosure Day's got to be. It's actually good. Thinking about that, it's gonna hit it. I think Disclosure Day's a 62. It's a 62 out of 100. All right, what's Joe think that I think this movie is rated?
Okay, I'm back to predict what I think Adam will score this movie out of 100. Really tough to say with films like this. sometimes he gets really nerdy about what was good about it. I don't think that will happen with this film. So I'm going to say that I think he will give it a 65 out of 100. Maybe that's low. Maybe that's low. His scoring system is strange. But that's my prediction anyway. Adam, was I close?
I was going to say 65. I was going to say 65 until I sense checked it against his filmography. I said 62, Joe, but I think in the spirit of the game, you pegged it. But yeah, well done, man. Well done. It is a forgot you forgot. I don't think Steven Spielberg's got another great movie in him. And I Quentin Tarantino always banged on about only doing 10 movies, and after a certain age, film directors lose their mojo. I hate that idea. Sidney Lumet came back when he was 80 and made Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, which is a belter. Pedro Almodovar, he's quite old, he's still knocking them out. Luca Guadagnino, I think he's ticking on, but maybe not as old as QT thinks. Stevie Spielberg, I don't think he has. He made his very personal Fablemans movie, which surely should have been him drawing a line under his wonderful cinematic career. But he's gone back. He's gone back to make more Fair Do. You know, he wants to make more movies. That's absolutely fine. I can't stop him. But yeah, and it's a bit much maybe to ask someone to call it a day. Yeah, shame. It's a bit of a downer, isn't it? This one wasn't for me. But maybe I'm gonna rewatch Midnight Special now, and see if I'm right and see if Jeff Nichols did it first. It's a bit film wanker of me to do that and think that. I can't help but want to spot a thing that no one else has spotted. And then pat myself on the back about it. But, you know, at least I'm thinking.